It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. There are several pending lawsuits in federal and state courts. They all involve Pennsylvania. They're all related to mail-in ballots, and they could impact the November election. The most recent legal action comes from Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro and at least 19 of his Democratic counterparts in other states. Josh Shapiro, welcome back to the confluence.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So you're suing the federal government, claiming that Postmaster General Louis DeJoy is changing mail procedures without proper authority ahead of the election as the post office prepares for a record number of mail-in ballots. He's backing down. He said retail hours at post offices won't be reduced, mail processing equipment won't be removed, blue collection boxes will not be removed, and no mail processing facilities will be closed prior to the November 3rd election. So, are you still going ahead with your suit? And if so, why?
Well, full steam ahead we are. And that's because, Mr. DeJoy's words are just that. I want a binding agreement that protects our postal service and make sure that people can have confidence in the flow of mail into their communities, whether it's the prescription drugs that our 800,000 veterans get through the mail, or whether it's someone's ballot so they can participate in our democracy. Here's what I'll say about Postmaster General DeJoy's announcement yesterday. It tells me very clearly that the voice of the American people have been heard. And it also tells me that our checks and balances system in this country work. Our lawsuit is pointing out the reality that DeJoy did not follow the law when he made those changes. And as a result of that, they now need to backtrack. You and I have talked many times in the past about lawsuits I've brought against this administration where they clearly violate the law and they then very quickly walk it back once we file a suit. So I'm going to continue, together with the colleagues that have joined my lawsuit here in Pennsylvania, I'm going to continue to pursue this. I'm going to continue to push this until I have a binding agreement with the Postmaster General and until they roll back the illegal changes they made back in July that have negatively impacted mail flow in this Commonwealth.
Your office is challenging the U.S. Postal Service changes. The Trump campaign is suing the state and all counties. Nonprofits in Pennsylvania are suing over mail-in voting. The election is less than 11 weeks away. Do you think your office is equipped to handle all these cases in such a tight time frame?
Oh, without a doubt. Look, we've proven time and time again in the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office that we can more than walk and chew gum at the same time. We know how to handle multiple cases. We know how to handle complex cases. And when we handle those cases, we win. And that's exactly what we're going to do here. We're going to win for the people of Pennsylvania, for the American people, make sure that they have confidence in their mail system, make sure that we have an unfettered election. And at the end of that process, the person the American people are choosing will be the victor. We want to make sure that it is a fair election, and I'm doing everything in my power to ensure that.
Most of the attention about these changes have been about the mail-in balloting procedures and making sure that the mail-in ballots get there on time. But you seem to think that this goes beyond the potential impact of mail-in ballots. Other things are affected.
Well, we know that it goes beyond mail-in ballots. Let's examine the record here. We've got 800,000 veterans in Pennsylvania. 80% of them get their necessary prescription drugs through the mail. And we know that there have been delays. We've heard from numerous small business owners who tell us that it's harder for them to process checks and process procurement documents and things like that because the mail has slowed down. And then, of course, you layer on top of that the efforts by the president to sow doubt in our election by trying to undermine the post office and the mail-in ballot that has been in place here in Pennsylvania and many other states, and it has worked. Look, we shouldn't politicize the post office, and we sure as heck shouldn't politicize participating in our democracy. Of course, people are going to have different choices as to who their preferred candidate is, but the process is something we all need to have confidence in. And having the president and his handpicked Postmaster General try to undermine that, is really a shot at our democracy. Now, what the good news is we're on it. We filed our lawsuit. I think we're going to win, given the fact that they have clearly violated the law. But I hope it doesn't ultimately have to come to that. I hope DeJoy really does walk back the changes he made in July. And I hope that he doesn't make any future changes. And that when people see those blue boxes in the community and they see the wonderful postal workers walking down their street, that they have confidence in that process, as they should.
The Trump campaign suit claims that the current vote-by-mail process could disenfranchise voters and result in fraud. It wants a federal judge in Pennsylvania to require counties to reject mailed ballots that arrive without a secrecy envelope and limit in-person ballot delivery to only official county election offices. How will you counter that allegation of fraud?
Well, you correctly pointed out that this lawsuit we filed against the Postal Service is not the first legal action we've been involved in to secure our upcoming election. We were sued by the Trump campaign about a month ago now to try and make it harder for people to vote in Pennsylvania, to try and limit the law that was passed here in the Commonwealth, by the way, passed with more Republican votes than Democratic votes, to create a vote-by-mail structure in the Commonwealth. And the Trump campaign and President Trump, through his tweets, have been running around alleging all kinds of fraud, fraud that we have never seen. And the federal judge that you referenced in that federal case in the Western District of Pennsylvania actually said to the Trump campaign, hey, put up or shut up. Give us the evidence that you keep talking about, as it relates to fraud. And, you know, the public's still waiting to see that information. We'll see what they really come up with here.
And finally, whether it's legislative changes or some of the lawsuits, the legal actions we've been talking about, are you concerned that there could be chaos a couple of weeks before the election because of different actions, because of rulings in different lawsuits?
The president has created chaos in this process by attempting to sow doubt on our Postal Service, attempting to sow doubt and make unfounded claims as it relates to voting by mail. It's my job to remove that doubt and try and eliminate the chaos that the president has created. That's why we are leading this lawsuit against the Postal Service leadership and the illegal changes they made. And that's why I'm going to do everything I can to partner with leaders here in Pennsylvania, in the legislature, the governor, his secretary of state, to ensure that whatever is needed to allow any Pennsylvanian who's qualified to vote the opportunity to vote either by mail from home or in person. And we stand ready, willing, and able to assist in that process any way we can. But make no mistake, the chaos that people are feeling exist because of the words and the conduct by the president. And I think it's very purposeful. And I think it's designed to give him an advantage in the election. But at the same time, sadly, I think it is also an attempt to undermine our democracy. And that's not something any of us should agree with, whether we support Donald Trump or not. We've got to make sure that our democracy is protected. And that's the work I'm doing as your attorney general.
Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Maybe during this pandemic, you made an abrupt change to vacation plans, but still wanted to get away, but not to be near too many people. You probably found out that you were not alone as people flocked to parks and trails. John Hayes is the outdoors editor at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. John, park officials at Ohio Pile State Park told the Post-Gazette they were worried about crowding. The Department of Conservation and Natural Resources has asked people to use less crowded state parks. What are some of these less crowded parks, maybe some hidden gems that people should still explore?
Well, there's a lot of smaller state parks and a lot of county and community parks. Right. As far as local parks, Keystone State Park, right off of Route 22, is a great little park. Great Lake, hiking trails. Some of the larger ones, Moraine State Park is outstanding, but near Moraine is McConnell's Mill State Park,
right,
which has a great hiking trail along Slippery Rock Gorge, a really beautiful thing to see in our area.
And Moraine State Park has beautiful Lake Arthur, right?
Lake Arthur. I love Lake Arthur.
What should people be doing to be good visitors, especially if they're not regulars to our parks, so that they are good stewards of our public parks?
Yeah, I did a story earlier this year in the spring about as attendance increases at the parks, so do problems associated with attendance, like trash and like people parking, just driving up on the grass and stuff. Follow the rules. And a lot of the parks are restricting attendance. I know the Presque Isle State Park in Erie is limiting parking capacity to 75% at the most popular beaches. And all parks, all Pennsylvania state parks, are limiting groups to 25 or fewer. Ohio Pile that you mentioned, an increase of 73% in May over 2019.
John, earlier in the pandemic, there was a run on people buying exercise equipment for their homes, as well as bikes for trails and wherever they would ride. What about camping equipment?
I was on a trip recently, and I had really a lot of trouble finding basic gear. I got some stats here for you from NPD, which is a retail tracking service. They report a 32% sales increase for recreational tents over May 2019. Camping gear, RVs, road trip gear, all up 200 to 300%. My air mattress was getting old and starting to leak. I tried to buy one in Pittsburgh. I couldn't do it. I went to where I was camping and tried to buy one there. The Cabela's in Seattle was out of just about everything.
So, John, you just got back from a trip to Olympic National Park in Washington State. How was it?
It was a two-week tent camping trip by myself, and it was crowded. Going up on Hurricane Ridge, which is you drive to the top of a mountain and you see all the glaciers and stuff, there was a long line. I waited for more than probably 40, 45 minutes, one in and one out. One thing that I thought about during my trip was at this time when people were flocking to the outdoors, there's no organized way of teaching them how to do it. Nobody is born knowing how to build a fire in the rain and cook your food. And it would have been so great if we had known if in the spring, Boy Scout groups and other things, other people were just out showing newcomers how to do this stuff, because I'll bet you next year, hopefully this pandemic will be dealt with, and there's going to be a lot of people with camping gear that don't want to go out again because they had a bad time because they didn't know what to do.
John Hayes is the outdoors editor for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thanks, John.
Thanks for having me.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. An area high school student was awarded one of the highest honors for student poets. Anthony Wiles Jr. attends Sewickley Academy, and he was selected as one of this year's National Student Poets. He spoke with The Confluence's Mary Lee Williams.
So when I was reading your poetry reads like self-reflection or internal musings. How much of yourself do you put into your work?
At least 75% of it is mainly focused on me, my experiences, and things that I have went through just as myself. Now, the other 25% is a good mix between writing about general experiences and social justice topics, as well as writing about my family and our story.
So some of your poems that I've read, you know, An Ode to Home, We Went Home to Crystal. You use the word home a lot in the poetry that I've seen. Why do you keep referencing back to home?
I reference home a lot because that's grounding for me. That's a sense of belonging. That's where my roots are. Home for me has always been my safe space, no matter if it's the physical home that I'm living in right now, or if it's the community that I call home, or just the people that I come from. Home can have so many different meanings, especially to me. I guess it's a fluid concept. It can be more concrete for certain people, but for me, it's definitely a place that I come back to in my writing.
I'm just wondering if you see this proclamation of home as an act of social justice, particularly for yourself and maybe other people of color who are in these regions that are seen as predominantly white.
I definitely do see it as that. For most of my life, I didn't broadly identify as Appalachian, only because the Appalachia that was taught to me, or that was, I guess, I was seeing in the media, in the literature that I consumed, was very different from the Appalachia I knew. And it was fed to me as this place that was very poor, very white, very economically depressed, very backwards in every sense. And it was very negative. It had a lot of negative connotations when I was like, no, because the place that I'm from, so like Southwest Virginia, West Virginia is the state, Western Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, these are places that my family had originated in, and I knew these to be places that there are people who are black, and a lot of the places, only black folks, but everything is telling me that you don't belong here, you were never part of here, you don't exist, and whatever you're feeling, whatever attachments you're feeling to this place are false. And I know that sounds very harsh and exaggerated, but that's the way I felt, because I didn't see myself or the people who came before me and the people that I loved in any of these representations of home.
What's beautiful about being Appalachian, or I guess in your specific case, Afro-Latchin, which is an African-American Appalachian?
There's so many things that make it such a unique and special place. I would definitely say the value of family and kinship. Whenever I go to visit my family in places like West Virginia, it's, you can breathe. These are people who will love you unconditionally, and they understand what you've gone through, and they've gone through a lot of the same struggles that you have gone through, and they understand that, and they understand the connection that you have to this place, even though the outside world might not see it. So it's always something that I come back to and something that I feel so strongly.
If you don't mind, I would really love it if you could read We Went Home to Crystal.
We went home to Crystal. We ate fried chicken from the Kroger's in Bluewell, collard greens and cornbread on blue paper plates, vanilla pistachio cake and toothache sweet lemonade in the basement of that little wooden church called Pilgrim. This was my first time coming home. The creek was polluted. The mines were abandoned. We were good eating and Lord praising. I was home. I was safe. They knew me and they loved me. I belonged to them and the mountains. Crystal, West by God, Virginia. I knew only in memories long gone and never mine. That Sunday, we went home to Crystal.
Anthony Wiles Jr. is a rising junior at Sewickley Academy and one of this year's National Student Poets. He spoke with The Confluence's Mary Lee Williams. And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at wesa.fm/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Helen Wigger, Tom Hurley, Julia Zenkovich, and Mary Lee Williams. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.